Welcome into the Fan pregame here on Sportsnet. It's Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Ailish and Justin. Happy Stanley Cup playoffs eve. We have almost made it. Our show will mostly be dedicated to teeing up the games that begin tomorrow. Blues and Jets, 6 p.m. Avs and Stars, 8:30 p.m. We've got all that here on Sportsnet. And then the fun continues on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. The first games sprinkle all the way until Tuesday. So we will go through them all with David Amber in a few minutes. Seattle and Toronto are playing on Apple TV tonight at Blue Jays, not hockey. That will be on Apple TV, but you can listen to it here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And we have a doubleheader in playoff NBA to tee up for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's finish off the play-in. A couple 10 seeds trying to make history, become the first 10 seed to ever make it through the play-in into the NBA playoffs, which begin this weekend as well. So it's all happening. It's all happening here in the sports world. Very excited for it. We got DA in a second to go through everything, and then we'll do our brackets, our Conn Smythe picks, our analysis of every series. We'll go through everything in advance of the Stanley Cup playoffs with our last chance to do it today.
Yeah, we're excited. Justin and I will be down at the rink on Sunday for game one of Leafs Sens. We've got that obviously on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 of The Fan. So we get to be in the building for game one. I'm sure it'll be crazy.
Set the tone.
Like, it's going to be wild. I saw a lot of people lining up today for the Blue Jays bomber jacket giveaway. I can't even imagine how many people will be there for game one of Leafs Sens.
Yeah. It's been a little quieter. Not to say like there's no hype. There's clearly hype. But the success of the Maple Leafs season, I think they've done a nice job of like at least making it so or less angsty. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to affect what we see, of course, down at Maple Leaf Square and inside the building, of course. But it just feels like there's less nervous energy. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. I don't know if you feel that or not, but that's what I'm picking up.
We'll see on Sunday.
Okay.
Okay, let's bring in our one and only guest of the Friday night. David Amber, NHL and Sportsnet, joins us. David, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy, what do you say? Happy Easter weekend, I guess,
yeah,
right?
For sure. Yeah. And happy playoff eve. We're not in front of your fireplace today. This is a new room we've got to experience.
We're chilling today. No need for a fire. It's beautiful outside.
I love that. Yeah. I actually have a question for you before we start the playoff bonanza preview. So I won the in-season cup, which I don't know if you know about, but yes.
Yeah, he's a veteran of the in-season. I think you took his spot. I didn't know that happened.
Sorry.
This is year three, I think. I won the first year. I didn't win. I won one of the two. I think I had it for the most days, but I didn't have it at the end.
Okay, so I had it at the end last night. Leafs win in overtime. I was cheering. You can hear it on the broadcast. So I need your advice because you know Elliot and Kyle well, who I should pick to be our show butler. They basically produce our show. They have to be our runner. They got to get us guests and they have to take us to dinner. I'm thinking Elliot, like, you know, I want to see him hustle and like cut a rundown and, you know, get me a clip. Like, I think that'd be pretty good.
There is nothing I would enjoy more than watching Elliot be for you and Justin, your manservant.
Yes, that's what we get.
Oh man. Please document it. Also, write his 32 thoughts column. Like, dude, like, take over everything in his life. It'll be fantastic.
When put as manservant, it just feels like it's got to be Elliot. Manservant Elliot makes sense to me. I just don't want to give David Sis, our producer, the day off. That's the only downside.
Well, I think Sis should supervise Elliot. Like, make sure, okay, that's not how you do. See this beautiful formatting? Like, Elliot, good luck. You have to make this. And so maybe Sis helps him.
Okay. I can get down with that.
All right. I'm glad.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I'll make my official message to the group, but I'm thinking Elliot.
Okay.
That'd be good.
They're perfect.
Okay. I'm glad you approve. Okay. Let's start with, let's go in chronological order of some of the series because they kick off tomorrow, Blues and Jets at 6 p.m. Now, a lot of people have the Jets as maybe Canada's best playoff hope of getting a Stanley Cup. But I wonder if you think the Blues have like a little bit of a pesky upside here. They had a great momentum coming in, and Binnington, when he's confident, we know he can really make some noise. So do you see them as maybe not an upset pick, or maybe you do, or someone that the Jets got to take pretty seriously?
Well, they're certainly going to take him seriously. I mean, the first thing I want to say is how exciting is this, right? Like, there's so many good storylines heading into the playoffs. There always are, but it seems like there's an inordinate amount of great storylines heading into the postseason this year. And clearly the Jets looking to rebound from what's been a really tough back-to-back playoff series the last 2 years is one of the storylines. They're not going to take the Blues lightly. There's no way it'd be impossible to. The Blues have been the hottest team in the NHL since Four Nations. They have a goaltender who's won a cup. They have a core group of players who've won a cup in St. Louis. And I know Binnington's coming off, obviously, leading Canada to gold at the Four Nations. So no one's taking them lightly. And they are a formidable first-round opponent. Having said that, it does feel like Winnipeg has... I don't want to say they're so different than last year, but they have an abundance of talented offense up front. They are so perfect in their identity of strong forecheck, sort of pound their opponent into submission many times, and they have a world-class goaltender. And of course, that's going to be the big storyline here. Can Connor Hellebuyck rebound after, you know, the last 2 years, which has been disastrous for him and personally in the postseason? I think the maturation of some of the players on his blue line, you know, Dylan Sandberg's been fantastic this year. Neil Pionk's been great at both ends of the ice. Josh Morrissey as a Norris contender. They have a very strong nucleus surrounding him. So I feel very confident in the Jets' chances. I think they obviously want to get off to a good start to the series. They won game one. People will remember they won game one against Colorado last year, but it was this crazy, I think, 9-6 track meet. It was one of the craziest games of the playoffs. And everyone was like, all right, well, they won the game, but it was sort of a harbinger of things to come. And it was a lot of, you know, multi-goal games, the next four games versus Colorado. And that's not the sort of series they want to get into versus a team like Colorado. I don't expect that sort of track meet against St. Louis. I think it'll be a much more grinded out series. The Jets have a very good record in those one goal games this year and playing with a lead and everything else. So I think the Jets will prevail in this series. I think they're going to exercise those past playoff demons, but certainly there's enough storylines to go around with that series specifically, and when the return of Gabe Vilardi will happen, because that's a big thing. That Gallardi Scheifele Connor line was the best line in hockey for the first 4 months of the season. Unfortunately, Vilardi got hurt, and it'll be interesting to see when and if he returns to the lineup.
Yeah, the headline item, definitely the goaltending matchup, right? You get the rematch of the Four Nations final, but it's played over a larger sample. Does that just mean the better goaltender that I think everyone would come to a consensus with just eventually wins over? It might not be as simple as that, but I think that definitely swings it in Winnipeg's favor in that they've got the better guy, at least on paper and statistically, this season. 8:30 tomorrow, Avs and Stars. This is a banger series. It could be a Western Conference final if the playoff format isn't what it is. I'm most interested here in the Avalanche. I mean, the seven-game losing streak, for the Stars is something to chew on, but the Avalanche kind of built a roster on the fly this year, and they had so much change and upheaval and getting rid of a superstar in Mikko Rantanen, and yet they've been so much better than they were since they started adding to it. But I wonder for you, do you think vulnerabilities will appear with a group that hasn't been together so long, or do you think this is already kind of coalesced in a way that, yeah, it could work around the core group of MacKinnon and Makar?
I'd have more concerns had they not won a cup a couple of 3 years ago. I mean, that core group is essentially still there, and it's not just Makar and MacKinnon, you know, Nichushkin, Lekkonen, Taves. Their whole kind of base is still there. Obviously, they've lost some key parts along the way, but essentially the core group is still there. So I'm a little bit less concerned about the coalescing and the chemistry issue, and if that feels like Necas just rolled right in. Mm-hmm. Jared Bednar won't win the Jack Adams, and he might not even be a finalist for the Jack Adams, but he deserves a lot of credit. And to your point, they used the most players on any team, I believe, at least on March 1st they had. I'm not sure if it's changed since then. And now
hard to imagine it would, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although a lot of teams like the Flames and everyone were kind of shuffling guys in. Carolina had a bunch of guys playing their first game, so it might kind of skew those numbers. But in reality, through the majority of the season, the Avalanche used the most players of any team. So I think Jared Bednar deserves a ton of credit, as you said, sort of on the fly, figuring out the chemistry of his lines and how it's all going to work out. I'm intrigued by this series, guys. I look at the four Canadian series, and obviously those have interest for us at Sportsnet. And then I look at that series and the Tampa Bay Florida series as two other fantastic potential matchups. The hockey gods have been very good to us, at least on paper thus far. You mentioned the Colorado side of things. What about the Dallas side of things? Does any team come in with more of a gray area? You lose seven straight. You don't have your number one defenseman. You lose your leading goal scorer in a fluky play on the 82nd game of the year. It just feels like there's this dark cloud following over the Dallas Stars right now. Having said that, they're built. And one key part to the series, guys, is ranting it against this former team, right?
So like good.
It's kind of been. But I'm still have a lot of confidence in Dallas. I might be in the minority, but I still really like this team. I think Rantanen's going to have to show himself and prove himself to be that superstar that he was in Colorado and not the guy who hasn't been fantastic for either Carolina or Dallas, especially now that Jason Robertson's out. So I'm very interested to see what happens. The number one issue in that whole series to me is Jake Oettinger, and he has slipped incredibly badly in the last 6 weeks of the season. What's happened to his game? Where is it? Can he go back to being a world-class goaltender? If he can go back to being an elite goaltender, I really think Dallas does have a good shot in this series.
Yeah, this one was the hardest for me. I went back and forth in my bracket, like, okay, I'm leaning Stars, and then the Jason Robertson injury, then I'm leaving Abs, and then Avs, and, you know, I think, well, we'll do our brackets on the other side of the break, but I think the team that wins that one could win the whole cup if they can make it out healthy and alive. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that series. We'll go to Sunday now. Devils, Canes, a 3 p.m. start. This one, to be honest, is like the least interesting series for me. I keep seeing the Canes at the top of every like betting odds as the favorite, and I just, I haven't felt that way. I haven't maybe spent the most attention on Devils and Canes. Is there something that sparks your interest from this series that I need to buy in on? Because I feel like if I'm going to do my, you know, every Sunday your phone says how much time you've been watching, you're using your apps, this would be the one that I'm watching the least of in terms of series. So I'm asking you to convince me to watch this.
Please don't put me in that position.
I know. Other than the Canes are the favorites for like everybody, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, this is the most vanilla of the 8 series. Listen, you could find storylines. There are storylines there. Is this the year finally Carolina is going to get their act together, whatever? But it's not a sexy series. It's not filled with superstars. If Jack Hughes were there, maybe we'd feel a little bit differently about it. If Jacob Markstrom had, you know, more of a Jacob Markstrom type year, maybe we would feel differently about it. You know, had Rantanen stayed in Carolina, maybe we'd feel different about it. It's not to detract from those two teams, and they're good. They're two solid teams, but there's not a lot of excitement surrounding either of their lineups. I think Carolina is very confident playing the style of hockey that there's interchangeable parts, and Rod Brind'Amour is a fantastic coach of making it such. So I think they will be very comfortable playing in this series versus New Jersey. But is it sexy hockey? Probably not. And quite frankly, both teams are kind of stumbling into the postseason. Carolina lost seven of its last 8 games. You know what the thing is? It's kind of, I remember last year when Boston and Toronto were locked in for
way too long.
Yeah,
it might have been 4 months. I can't even remember. But they were locked in for a long time. And the year before, I think Tampa and Toronto were locked in. Yeah, because Boston was running away with the best record in NHL history. It's kind of been like that for the last, 6 weeks, we've known this matchup was happening. Washington just took off, and that was it. Left them both in the dust, and no one was coming up on their heels to sort of even give them a scare. So maybe the hockey will be great. It's just they haven't had to play meaningful games in so long. I'm doing exactly the opposite of what you said to do.
I'm sold because it's...
I'm giving you a reason to walk. Do your
I'm sold because it's on Sportsnet, so I'll be watching it.
Yeah, we're all going to be watching it. I'm just a little sour that the Flames had 5 more points than the Devils. I know it doesn't work that way. But, like, the Devils were awful for 3.5 months to end the season. And a team, even like the Blue Jackets, who played their hearts out until the end, don't get rewarded. But, I mean, you don't just get rewarded like that. But it's just the Devils aren't inspiring any confidence.
But this is the pregame to the game of the weekend, maybe. So, we can warm up with Devils Canes as we get set for Leafs Sens on Sunday night. So, 7 p.m. I mean, this is huge, right? It's hard to kind of pinpoint the most exciting part of it for me. I think it's that rivalry renewed, whether you're someone that was around for the early 2000s or you're learning about the early 2000s. I think Leaf fans, Sens fans have a lot on the line. But I'm curious your perspective on the pressure index, because I feel like the Sens have a little pressure, but the Leafs might have the most pressure they've ever had in this 9-year window, because it's like do or die in a sense. If you can't beat the team that's your rival and you win the Atlantic and you're renewing this rivalry, like how does that play into how you perceive Sens versus Leafs and the amount of pressure on both of these teams?
I think internally there's pressure on the Senators because they're professional athletes. They're not just there for a participation medal. They're there to win. It's their provincial rivals. They can't stand when they're playing at the Canadian Tire Center and the Go Leaf Go chants start down. Like, I get it. They want to win this series badly. externally, I don't think there's nearly as much pressure. The pressure on Ottawa, and it was immense, was to make the playoffs. They had to make the playoffs. There wasn't going to be another year of coming close and, you know, getting off to a horrible start and not getting to the postseason. That was the internal and external pressure. And doesn't mean they're going to exhale and not care, but I don't feel they have the same, anything close to the same external pressure facing the Maple Leafs and internal pressure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've touched on it. Remember when the Leafs made the playoffs, this core group, for the first time? It was nine yeah. years ago versus Washington, a very good Washington team with Holtby and OV and Oshie and everyone else. And it was like, there was hopes they'd win the series, but, you know, being here in the city of Toronto, people weren't expecting them to win the series. And it was just like, hey, they've made steps. They made inroads. This is good. That's how it is for the Ottawa Senators. For the Leafs, conversely, that was 9 years ago. And I think the fan base, the management group, the media have been generally pretty fair and certainly pretty patient with all the missteps and disappointments that have occurred since that series versus Washington and now. And I think what makes it even put more paramount importance here is Mitch Marner doesn't have a contract. John Tavares doesn't have a contract. I think we can all agree, you know, if this goes poorly in the first round, you know, they're probably not just going to bring it all back and just go again. And there'll be certainly lots of different options for both John and for Mitch elsewhere. And they might even in their heart of hearts go, yeah, it just isn't working here. Not, you know, maybe one of them will come back, maybe two. I'm not sure. But my point is there's incredible pressure because for this group, I imagine this is really the last chance that they're going to have a chance to run it back, because every year we're at the same sort of breaking point of, well, are they going to bring everyone back? And then they sign Nylander, then they re-sign Matthews. And it's like, okay, they just keep running it back. I think this is sort of the last time, you know, what's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And they are a different team. And I actually expect them to win this series. And I expect they could make a deep run, but there's incredible pressure to prove that and to exercise those previous playoff demons. And look, they have a much better blue line. They have incredibly stable goaltending this year. I think they're fourth or maybe fifth in the league in save percentage this year, a far cry from what they were last year. They have a different head coach. They have the year more maturity on all their players. They brought in three Stanley Cup winners to fortify sort of that, we know, you know, been there, done that attitude. They grabbed three guys from the Florida Panthers. So it is a different group. The management, Brad Tree Living, deserves a lot of credit to creating this group that has a legitimate chance to win. But that's all great. I'm just the talking head on TV, as you guys are. They got to now go out on the ice and do it. So I think there's incredible pressure. And what will be interesting, your show will be a lot of fun on Monday if the Leafs lose game one. Like, look out, you know, the ceiling's falling for Leaf Nation. I do think it's going to be a great series. I do think it'll have a ton of interest, guys. And I do think the Leafs will prevail because I do think they're the better team. And I think Ottawa is going to give them an incredible fight, though.
In the interest of time, DA, I'm going to skip ahead to Monday. Habs and Caps, Vegas and the Wild also playing on Sunday night. But Caps-Habs is really interesting. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens have become unbelievably fun. The inclusion of Demidov has made them just added another dynamic to what is a team that is hella interesting up front in terms of their forward talent. But I'm going to go to the Capitals with this one because it's been all about Ovechkin for about a month, right? So do they have to, you know, undergo a bit of an identity change to be ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs? Because we've seen teams that are chasing individual records before fall flat, and this was all geared toward one thing. So they have to be something else, or is the geared toward Ovechkin Capitals the best version of the Capitals?
We've already had the cautionary tale, whether it was with the Boston Bruins a couple of years ago where they were amazing in the regular season. And they, you know, the Capitals had this amazing storyline with the Ovechkin chase. And the fact, what's been cool about the storyline with Washington, guys, is I think it's been this reclamation project, right? Pierre-Luc Dubois and Jacob Chychrun and Logan Thompson and Mangiapane. And they brought all these guys in who were kind of cast off their teams. They're almost like the misfits. Remember the Vegas Golden Knights in 2018 and all these guys, and that was their identity. That seems to be what sort of galvanized this team. And I think it's been great. And I think they got to get back to that. I think that was sort of how they had a bit of a chip on their shoulder. And then it became like, this is fun. This is light. And I think they got to get maybe that intensity back. Again, they haven't been just like New Jersey and Carolina. They've sort of been cooled out for a while now. I do think they're going to be able to refocus. You know, I do wonder about their goaltending. What's the status of Logan Thompson? Mm-hmm. I've heard mixed reports on that. Is Charlie Lindgren going to start this series? And is he capable of providing the level of goaltending they need? Because Sam Montembeau, I think, has been proven in the last 6 weeks to be a very serviceable guy, beyond serviceable, to be honest with you, like very good guy at a very critical time when the Habs needed those points. He was gathering those points for them. I'm intrigued by this series. I think it's going to be great. I think you're right. Washington's got to get sort of that identity back that they had earlier in the season. But I think this is going to be just a fantastic and fun series to watch.
It feels like the enthusiasm has waned tremendously for the Edmonton Oilers. Part of that is due to health. Part of that is due to performance. I'm not really sure what else is feeding into that, but it feels like it's almost unanimous consensus that, you know, the expectations aren't what they were to start the season. Do you still hold out hope that the Oilers can be what they were last year, that they can raise their levels like they have the last couple of years prior, especially with McDavid and Draisaitl, and that they can still make a run at it despite them seemingly faltering here down the stretch?
So much intrigue here, and I do still have confidence in the Oilers. And it's funny, the two Western Conference finalists last year have the most questions going into the playoffs. Dallas Stars, we already talked about, and Edmonton. Who's healthy? How healthy are they? Who's playing? Who can't play? How's it going to shake down? We know Ekholm's not going to be there. It's tentative whether we're going to have Evander Kane or Trent Frederick. I shouldn't say it's tentative. We just don't know right now. There's no definitive when these guys are going to be able to jump in and how effective they're going to be. You know, what's funny, you guys remember how good Rocky 1 was? Well, Rocky 4 wasn't nearly as good as Rocky 1. So I'm not expecting this four-time sequel with L.A. and Edmonton to be maybe as good as the first version. The first one went 7 games. Then it went 6 games. Last year, Edmonton beat them in 5 games. I'm not expecting a sweep. I don't think we're going down that pattern. This might go back to a 7-game series. Mm-hmm. I think these teams are incredibly evenly matched. I think the drama will be there. Sequels generally aren't as good as the original, but this year could be the exception. You know, when I was talking to friends about this, and, oh, the Oilers, and I said, I'm not going to bet against Draisaitl and McDavid. I'm just not. And until L.A. proves that they can win this battle versus these guys, I'm just not ready to jump off that ship yet. I think there's a lot of question marks there, certainly with Edmonton, maybe more than there has been in the previous three matchups with L.A., and L.A. has improved itself. But until, again, it's kind of like the Leafs with this, you know, we can say what we want about the team on paper until they deliver. You know, L.A. has not delivered against this team. So I still like Edmonton's chances, but I can completely understand why Edmonton fans aren't nearly as, you know, exuberant about their Stanley Cup prospects as they maybe were 3 months ago or 5 months ago.
One last one for you. We're talking to David Amber, NHL on Sportsnet, as we get set for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tuesday, we got to wait for the Battle of Florida, which I think is just going to be like a bloodbath. These two teams, big physicality, a couple key, like, pests on each squad. I guess my question is, do the Panthers have enough to go back to another Stanley Cup final, or are the Lightning, who a team that Justin and I think people are still sleeping on, maybe we're all awake now to the fact that they're really good. Do they have the ability to power through the Panthers in this first round?
To me, this all comes down to special teams. I think 5-on-5, they're pretty evenly matched. We're talking elite skill on Tampa, and we're talking some great grinded out type of two-way players in the Sam Reinharts, the Lundells, the Barkovs on Florida. They know how to win. But Florida is the most penalized team in the NHL. Tampa has one of the best power plays in the NHL. Jake Guentzel, 17 power play goals, led everyone. Right behind him, Braden Point with 16. You cannot find yourself sitting down and having 4 and 5 power plays given up to Tampa Bay and have any shot of winning against them. So I'm excited. They added Brad Marchand to the mix. We all know what he can do at both ends of the ice, how he can agitate and how he can finish plays. You have him, Bennett, and if Tkachuk comes back healthy, which apparently he's going to, imagine those three as a line. But I wonder, can they be on that line, step over that line just a little and pull themselves back? Or are they going to find themselves going to the penalty box and causing problems? And I think that's one thing. If I'm Paul Maurice, I am preaching discipline, discipline, discipline. But I think you teed it up perfectly. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. It might be the best of the 8 series when all said and done, because it has some history. They played last year. It has the geography, obviously, their state rivals. It's not like Battle of Ontario. I'm not saying it is, but I'm telling you, from a hockey skill perspective, it is as good a series as we're going to see in this opening round, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can't wait. It all kicks off tomorrow. Would you like to give us your official prediction, or are you saving that?
I'm not saving it, but I'm horrible. So
it's okay.
My preseason pick was Edmonton.
Okay.
This Edmonton over Toronto. Listen,
it's a popular pick still.
Keep it, DA. It can happen.
Keep it. Just roll with it. Just keep roll it. Right. Like better. listen, it would be awesome. We've had a great, you know, strip for Sportsnet, and mm-hmm. not that I'm Mr. Company Man, but it's always I'm more of a fan of Canada, and it'd be really cool. It's been so long. 1993 was a long time ago, and I think it would be great. We came this close to a Canadian champion last year. It would be really great. I think kind of 5 lottery tickets in there, and certainly you know, of those 5 teams, I'd say at least 3 of them, you know, Montreal and Ottawa, maybe don't have Stanley Cup aspirations. I'm sure they want to, but I they understand their time frame is maybe different. But Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Toronto, I think, come into this Stanley Cup playoffs with a distinct mm-hmm. Stanley Cup championship mentality. And you know, and for Edmonton, there's nothing left to prove. They got within 1 goal of the Stanley Cup last year. So there's really, it's Stanley Cup or bust. So I'll stick to that. I have some other thoughts. I'll give you one other team really quickly. The only other team I would say that I really, they're kind of sneaky, stealth, amazing, and not being talked about a lot is Vegas. And that's, I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're big on Vegas here too. So I don't know if I'm big enough on them to have them winning yet, though. Well, we're doing our predictions on the other side of the break. But, yeah, they have all of the keys to success, great, everything. So we'll see, and a good pathway ahead. David, we'll let you go. It's Friday night. So thanks for coming on. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll be seeing you soon. So thanks so much for coming on.
Enjoy the start of the playoffs. Thanks so much for having me on. And I'm going to keep listening. I want to hear your predictions.
All right.
So hopefully you got them right.
Yeah, me too.
Listen, don't let Elliot get away. Man servant, 24 hours.
I agree.
Videotape it all.
I will. Thanks. Thanks so much.
24 hours.
That's David Amber.
Man servant. Yeah, unbelievable.
Pick me up from my house, Elliot. Drive me to the studio. Hey, that'd be a sweet perk.
I mean, you should take this opportunity to flex your power.
I'll see what I can.
You've got it.
What I can pull up.
In-season cup winner. In dramatic fashion,
a little
too.
Crown, please.
Under 2 seconds.
That was
Chris
crazy.
Tanev's goal. And, of course, the overtime winner from Scotty Lawton.
Yeah,
let me tee up the NBA play-in on Sportsnet tonight before we hit the break.
Okay. Please.
Last spots in the NBA playoffs on the line tonight. 2 10 seeds looking to crash the party. It's never happened before. As I mentioned, no 10 seed has got through the play-in. The Heat, fresh off a win over the Bulls, taking on the Hawks, who lost their 7-8 matchup in pretty embarrassing fashion. Winner gets Cleveland. Then there's the Mavericks, who beat the Kings. The Kings fired their GM in response. They take on the Grizzlies tonight. The winner gets OKC. So real good teams awaiting the winners of the games tonight. I'm going to rank these 4 teams, though, based on the 3-2-1 Cancun protocol. And if I'd rank it in reverse order, I think the Heat want to make the playoffs. So they're number 4 for me. Mavericks, too, they showed something in that game. Like, I think the Mavericks would like to at least maybe not prolong the suffering of Nico Harrison, but I don't know. Make sure that the entire season isn't a complete embarrassment. So I got them at number 3. Hawks are, or the Grizzlies, are number 2. And the Hawks, I think, are number 1. They're mailing it in. I like the Heat as basically pick them over the Hawks tonight. I think the Heat will be way more incentivized than the Hawks. That is your NBA play-in preview.
I love a 3-2-1 Cancun. Let's do a 3-2-1, take a break.
Let's do it.
On the other side, we will give our Stanley Cup predictions and some of our best bets, whether they're Conn Smythe, favorites or not. We try to do a little deep diving for our listeners, but we will reveal our rackets and we will stand by them just like David Amber did. 3-2-1 break.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Fan pregame here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. For the next 20-ish minutes, we will wrap up our playoff predictions preview bonanza. If you're looking for a little baseball, we have 3 offerings for you this evening. New York Yankees. Why are you laughing? It sounded like I was a waitress. Our specials tonight are the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays on Sportsnet at 7 p.m. If you're looking for a little Southern Flair, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Southern Flair.
Are at the Texas Rangers.
Without Shohei, right? Because Shohei's having a
baby.
Baby.
Shohei lists Dodgers. That's an 8 p.m. start on Sportsnet 360. And then the San Diego Padres and the Houston Astros play on Sportsnet Plus at 8 p.m. Please choose your dinner wisely, your viewing experience. We have all 3 options for you this evening. and Apple TV will have Seattle and the Toronto Blue Jays, which you can listen here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
7
tough,
o'clock first
tough
pitch.
Pitching from the Mariners. Brian Wu tonight versus Bowden Francis. If the Blue Jays are going to live up to what they did last time out with the 19 Ks, Bowden Francis will have to be sharp, I suppose. But yeah, the Blue Jays have just lost that one series, swept by the Mets. If they can keep that up against good pitching this weekend, the Blue Jays can keep the good start to the season going.
Okay, let us predict how this next couple months of hockey will go.
Did you bring your crystal ball or you leave that at home?
No. We used to do tarot card readings.
Mm-hmm.
We should have brought that back. No, you didn't like it?
Oh, I loved it.
The listeners loved it.
I mean, I thought it was... We the tarot cards that were pulled ahead of Kyle Dubas's last run as GM.
It was absolutely electric.
They predicted, I don't know how many knives in his back, but multiple. It was a little gruesome for morning radio at the time, but it predicted that Kyle Dubas would be backstabbed, and I don't want to say he was backstabbed, but, you know, we know how he left the Toronto Maple Leafs. So there's something in the cards.
For what we did in the morning show, which I guess was 2 years ago now, I brought in a pack of tarot cards, and I'm no expert, but we would just ask live on the air. We would ask the tarot cards.
Exactly what you did. You rubbed it for some reason.
I just looked it up quickly. And then I would split the deck and I'd pick that card. And then we would react live to the card. And it was stunning.
Yeah.
It was really, like, I almost threw the card. And then we found out that it was pretty accurate.
The problem was, though, the payoff was later. Like,
that's true.
We thought, okay, Kyle Dubas might be in trouble here. But we didn't really know that he was.
I still have the cards. Maybe I'll do that on my, Instagram or something.
Okay.
Actually, I do have a quick question for you. I know we have to get into this. I have a framed Curtis Joseph jersey signed in my house. And I was debating this yesterday, thinking, like, it's Battle of Ontario vintage.
Yeah.
Do I take it out of the frame and have it to wear during this series? If you're a Leafs fan, like I am.
Yeah.
And bring back the vibes. Like, you can reframe it. It's not...
It costs a lot of money to get things framed, but
whatever. I could figure it out myself. I could reframe it myself.
Yeah, I bet you could. My rule on that is if the jersey is signed, it's no longer wearable. That's just my take on it. I know people wear signed jerseys.
I don't really agree with that.
But I think it looks a little goofy when people wear signed jerseys.
Okay, so just
and then if you sweat in it or you spill something on it, you're ruining the actual, like, if I had a jersey, I actually wouldn't want to get it signed because I think it.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. I don't like worship at the altar of athletes. That's just another discussion.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying once it's signed, once it's in a frame, like it's hard to take it out of the frame, a signed jersey, and start wearing it.
This has been in the frame since the Leafs dominated the Sens, and since then they haven't really had too much fortune.
You'll be risking
that. I'm thinking that if you take it out of the frame, though, you take it out of the frame and you let it breathe, you let it bring that energy to life. I don't know. Text 590-590.
Pull a tarot card.
Guys, we got 20 minutes. 590-590. Do I deframe the Battle of Ontario signed Cujo jersey and let it be back in the rotation? Let it breathe the air of Toronto.
Yeah, I think you're tempting fate.
All right. Well, you have 20 minutes to convince me otherwise. Text line. Okay. Let us start with our Stanley Cup brackets. Let's start on the West because I think there's a lot of big heavy hitters over there.
It's best.
West best. First round, the Winnipeg Jets and the St. Louis Blues. Let us just predict who we think is going to win and maybe some of the reasons why.
Okay. I like the Jets.
So do I.
The Blues are obviously on a great streak. And they've used a great streak to do great things, winning the Stanley Cup in 2019, being the hottest team over the back half of the season. But it hasn't been that. It has been a shorter sample. It's been this great win streak. It's been... against teams that, yeah, there's some good wins under that record, but it's also like, hey, motivation station, as you like to say,
I love motivation
diminished
station.
Maybe for a couple of those opponents. I think the Jets are going to be keenly aware of the situation. Mm-hmm. They cannot screw around because they screwed around last year and they found out. I think their best game, their A game, their fastball will be presented immediately, and I think it'll be too much for the Jets. Mm-hmm. I think the Jets have some real upside. And I think they have the better goaltender. And I know that didn't work out in the USA-Canada matchup. But there's seven games, not one. And Hellebuck will be better than Binnington over seven games.
Yeah, I will say, so I agree with the Jets winning this one as well. I will say the Blues deserve a lot of respect. They're not doing, well, they might. But remember the Gloria days when they won the Cup and they just went on this crazy run and then they all clicked. Like, they still have some of those vibes to me. but not enough to beat the very motivated Winnipeg Jets, who, like, they can't afford to have another mistake-prone first round. So I have the Jets advancing in five games.
Okay. I'm not sure what I had it as, but five or six.
Okay, whatever.
We're going to show a bracket.
We will, so I'll just tell you mine five. Okay, let's go down to the next series. This is the hardest one for me to predict. I think this is the best series we might see of the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. Dallas-Colorado. Now, I'll go first and tell you that I believe that the Colorado Avalanche will win this game, win this in seven games. And I have gone back and forth on this one, and it's been paper now. The gut has said it is going to be the Colorado Avalanche. I just feel like Dallas is dealing with some injuries that I just can't wrap my head around completely believing in them. And I've loved the vibes of Colorado since the trade deadline. They have just reinvigorated their entire roster. And so I'm going with the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, the Dallas Stars have shown the ability to win playoff series. Like, they have that ability. Mm-hmm. They have that mix. They've been able to do it. They've got the goaltending. They've got the blue line, or they had the blue line. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. And they've had the forward mix to get it done, but they've made a lot of changes. The Mikko Rantanen thing is huge. I think it's going to be really tough to beat Mikko Rantanen in this series. Isn't it? Like, this year has been a nightmare. You go to Carolina, you get traded again, you're mm-hmm. in Dallas, you choose to be in Dallas, and you get Colorado right away, and you look across the ice at the guys you want a Stanley Cup with.
It's worrisome to me.
And there's so much pressure on your shoulders, and I don't know if he's going to deal with it very well.
It's the revenge angle, but I agree. I don't know if, prove me wrong, he might prove me wrong, but if he's, like, built different, to be like,
but he hasn't shown that he can just, like, put his head down and be a great hockey player under the circumstances that have presented him this year. So I think it's a huge deal. And I think the bigger deal, though, is the fact that one team has its Norris level defenseman mm-hmm. and the other team doesn't. Yeah. Cale Makar has no foil in this series. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have an adversary. Miro Heiskanen is not available to the Dallas Stars. And I think those two aspects have me leaning in the direction of the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay, we're both online to Colorado. And seven
so
games?
We've got the same. It was longer. I think I did have it seven.
Okay, so we got Winnipeg, we got Colorado. Next series, Vegas and Minnesota. I think Vegas is one of the best teams in the NHL. I definitely think they win the series. I think they win it handedly. I have them winning in five games.
Yeah, I think I had five as well for Vegas. It's interesting because you look at the Vegas roster and it's not like name brand as it once was. Mm-hmm. Like, not quite to the extent it feels like it once was, despite them going out every year and getting name brand guys, mm-hmm. Thomas Hertl, Noah Hanifin, go back in time, like Mark Stone, like they've just done, Jack Eichel. But they are built on the premise of protecting Adin Hill first, and their blue line is sensational from a talent perspective.
Yes.
And I think a team that has got Kirill Kaprizov back and got Joel Eriksson Ek back, despite him being more of a defensive center, they've obviously got a boost there, but I just don't think they're going to be scoring enough to keep up with a Vegas team. I think it's going to be really difficult for them to break through. So, yeah, I think it's going to be short and sweet. Vegas gets through in five games.
Okay. Final series of the first round of playoffs on the West Coast. Kings and Oilers. I'm sorry, Canada. I actually have the Kings winning this one against the Oilers. Now, it's a four straight playoff matchup between these two, as we all know, and Edmonton has won all three previous matchups. I don't feel the vibes like I did with Edmonton last year and coming through the season. They don't look as scary to me. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point the Kings, they need to break through. And so I am going to pick the Kings, and I feel terribly about it, but I'm going to pick them in six games.
Yeah, the Oilers are older. They're slower.
They're beat up.
They're even more reliant on Connor McDavid, yes, and Leon Draisaitl than they were. And these guys both have dealt with injuries lately. Are they going to be able to elevate? I would say probably. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be enough? I'm not really sure.
This one, this was hard for me.
I was like firmly LA a couple days ago, and I'm starting to like move back towards Edmonton. I'm going to stick with LA.
Okay.
But if I just see the twinkle in the eye of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in night one, I might change my tune.
But that's okay. I'd rather be, this is like the happiness.
I need to see it first, though.
I'd rather be upset, like lose this one, because I'd like to see Canadian teams advance. So
I just haven't seen the Oilers be the Oilers in so long. And it's, you know.
And the comments that McDavid made were like, we're not the walking wounded, we're good. I'm like, are you just saying that to say that, or you really believe it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I think we have all four of the same teams.
It's not good.
Okay, that's okay. It'll change. Let's go over the Eastern Conference round one. Leafs Sens. I'm going Leafs in six, baby. I won the in-season cup last night, and I feel very good about the blue and white, and they're going to reinvigorate this Battle of Ontario. And by the way, the text line has a lot of answers about this Cujo jersey, so I'll have to skim through them before we get off to see if I should wear it or not. But no, I'm going Leafs.
Okay, I'll go quickly then. It's either Leafs in six or the opponent in seven. That's my rule with any Leafs series. I like the Leafs in six, though. I think they found something here with the Scott Laughton line. I think the fourth line is
really... What a way to end your season, too, Scott Laughton.
Oh, 100%. But I think their fourth line is now their third line, which means you could, you know, lessen the role of Max Domi and Nick Robertson. I think they found something here late in the season. The blue line is vastly improved. I think Stolarz could be the best goaltender on his side of the bracket, although Andre Vasilevsky has a lot to say to that. I think they're well positioned in this series, but if they meet some early adversity, how are they going to deal with it? We'll see.
We will see. Okay, next series is the Battle of Florida, and I have Tampa Bay winning in seven games against the Florida Panthers.
We are 6-6 aligned.
God, this is fun.
I love Tampa. They have the best goal differential in the conference this year. No one talked about them until.
They just snuck their way up to the top of everything.
And I look at this Florida team that's been to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals and how hard that is.
I think they're weathered.
I think it's Tampa's time.
Tampa's got the aura.
They gave up on Steven Stamkos over the summer. Mm-hmm. And everyone, including me, thought they were morons for doing it. But they've come back and they've been better. McDonough coming back has improved the defense. Yep. Gensel is a clutch player. He's been better than Stamkos this year. He's a better option probably moving forward than Steven Stamkos. They make the right decisions. They're calculated in what they do. And they've got, I think, a wounded opponent in front of them. And they are a team that does put out a wounded animal.
Okay, two more series here in the Eastern Conference. We've got Capitals, Habs. Love the fight that I saw from the Montreal Canadiens. But I'm going Caps in six in this one.
7-7. I don't like either of these teams really to make a huge run, but the path definitely favors the Washington Capitals. Can they flip the switch and be something dominant? I don't really know, but I think Montreal is pretty faulty in terms of like, hey, this is what playoff hockey suddenly looks like.
Yeah.
It's a really skilled team. You're going to have Tom Wilson and Pierre-Luc Dubois running around. It's going to be a little bit.
There's a guy named Ovi.
And Ovi.
I do respect what the Habs did. They were 31st in the league on December 1st, and they made themselves like super respectable. I think this is the beginning of a really great window for the Habs, but not this time. Final one, the one that I just can't wait to watch, is the Carolina Hurricanes and New Jersey Devils. I just got the Hurricanes because I just wanted to hurry up and get through this.
Yeah, same thing. We'll move on. The Devils have been a bottom
They're so bad.
6-7 team for 3.5 months. They don't deserve to be in the tournament. They are. Carolina will... They're the gatekeepers. They will take out a team that is not playing well.
Okay, so we have the exact same bracket. So this is really,
it'll change here.
This is really good quality.
It'll change here.
TV and radio. Now, let's. So our conference finals are the Avs and Winnipeg and the Avs, and Vegas and the Kings. So I have in the conference finals. Sorry,
there'll be divisional finals.
Yes,
setting up conference finals.
So who do you have in your conference final between?
Okay,
those four
the
teams?
Central final. I'm taking the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets will beat the Colorado Avalanche, I think.
Are you sure about
that? It's going to be a role reversal. This Winnipeg team, like I just, laid out how they're going to be like highly, highly focused on the task at hand. When the team that gave them and handed them that embarrassment of last year, I think they will go to the next level in terms of their focus and what they need to do to get through them. I like the Jets.
So I have the Avs.
Why?
Man, I just... We have about 4 minutes left to get through this whole thing.
We're okay. Tell me why. 10 seconds.
I love Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. So you will see why they'll be in my Stanley Cup final. And I have Vegas and the Kings, and I have Vegas advancing through that one.
I got Vegas.
Yes.
They know what to do on this stage. The Kings will be getting their first taste of victory if they get through Edmonton.
Between your Winnipeg Jets and my Avs versus the same Vegas Golden Knights, I'm going with Avs advancing to the Stanley Cup final. This one changed the most for me between Vegas and Colorado, but I just went with my gut, which was Colorado in the Stanley Cup final.
I got Vegas. I think the Central will be difficult. It will.
They might be weathered.
And I've got
then.
The Jets, and I've got a rematch of 7 years ago in the conference finals, Jets and Golden Knights. I just think it's going to take a toll on you to get out of the Central.
They'll be
and
weathered.
Vegas will be in better form at that point.
Okay, quickly on the second round of the playoffs on the Eastern Conference, we both have Leafs Lightning, and I have the Leafs advancing.
I got the Lightning advancing. I've said my piece.
You said
on
your
Tampa
piece on
Bay.
Tampa.
They're a brilliant team. They are going to get their revenge on the Maple Leafs.
Between Capitals and Hurricanes, I have the Capitals advancing.
I also have the Capitals advancing.
So then we have a Leafs versus Capitals, and you have a Tampa versus Capitals, mm-hmm. and you have Tampa.
I have Tampa. And I mentioned 2018, 7 years ago, same Western Conference Final,
right.
same Eastern Conference Final. It was Tampa, Washington. Then Washington won the Stanley Cup. Tampa gets its revenge 7 years later. This time goes to the Stanley Cup Final to take on the Golden Knights.
All right. So my Stanley Cup Final is the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Colorado Avalanche.
I hope you're right.
And I hope I'm right.
That would be awesome. Okay,
this is also an awesome Stanley Cup Final. Yeah. And that's another reason why I didn't pick Vegas, because I was like, you know what? I wanted to be the Avs and the Leafs. Aesthetically gorgeous, two great like teams with history, and I have the Leafs winning the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
That's crazy to say, but if I am not on it and they win, I can never forgive myself. And last night I won the in-season cup with the Leafs, and I'm just like, this is something happening special here.
Okay.
There's my Stanley Cup bracket.
If the in-season cup is what's helped this happen,
no,
then
good.
You should probably take the Cujo jersey out of the frame and continue with just, this karmic
you know what?
Thing
I have,
you got going.
We have so many reasons why, and we have a whole pregame show on Sunday, which we'll get to. So I don't want to lay it all out here, but I do feel like this year is different. Famous last words.
My bracket will also include a blue and white team holding the Stanley Cup, lifting the Stanley
See,
Cup. It'll be the
so
Tampa
boring.
Bay Lightning.
Though.
The Tampa Bay Lightning will beat
Who
the
wants
Vegas
to watch
Golden
that
Knights.
Final?
I do.
Well, you'll on be the Sportsnet. Only one.
No,
actually, it's on Sportsnet that we'll all be watching.
We will not be. That's a brilliant Stanley Cup final.
That's
Tampa
fine.
Is the standard of this last 10 years. Vegas has been unbelievably successful in its short time in existence.
Yeah.
It is a great Stanley Cup final, and the appreciation for Julien Brisebois, John Cooper will continue as they win in a new era, a Stamkos-less era, and anyone who diminishes what they did in two seasons that were affected by COVID, well, say no more.
Okay, well, that was fun. You know what? Live a little. I hope that one of us is right. Me too. Okay, quickly, we're going to do some quick Conn Smythe picks, and I'm going to try to read some of those texts. So Conn Smythe is crazy hard to predict, but...
should be connected to your
It should be connected to my prediction. So I have a few. Marner, 55-1. You know what? This is Marner's year. 100 points. He's going to have a baby shortly, like the baby boost. And 55-1, he's one of like the middle of the pack in terms of betting odds. Obviously, Matthews is a little higher, but I thought there's some value on there. I've got Shifley, 101. I just like the value on that one. I actually want to read you my most impressive one, which is Landeskog, 500-1. He should be back.
Okay.
Buddy, he should be back. And who are they going to want to give the Conn Smythe to if the Avs win the Cup? Landeskog.
If he outperforms, two of the best players in the world.
You know what? The writers love a story. Landeskog.
Okay. My Conn Smythe picks, I'll run through them quick. Jack Eichel's the first pick. If Vegas is going to win, it should be him. He was robbed last time. Kucherov at 27. Vasilevsky at 31. Those are the two most likely from Tampa. Kucherov does not have a Conn Smythe, Vasilevsky, and Hedman have them. I also like Jake Guentzel, 120-1.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Like
that's
he's a clutch player. Stolarz for the Leafs. I think it's a Leaf. I think Stolarz has to be brilliant, 90-1. And I think for value, the Jets are the team to look at because everyone just assumes Hellebuck. You mentioned Shifley at 100. How about Josh Morrissey at 310-1? Could win the Norris. No, he can't win the Norris Trophy. He's a Norris caliber defenseman. If he shows out for four rounds, he could be more valuable than Connor Hellebuck.
Okay.
Ask Sean Reynolds.
Yeah, that's true. Very, very mixed results in the text line here. We have let the jersey breathe. Let it touch the fresh air. No. Don't touch the Cujo jersey. Okay. Let the Cujo spirit free. Let it breathe the good vibes. Once it's framed, you never remove it. It's a cardinal sin. Okay.
I agree. That's exactly
much.
What I said.
I think that's a bit much. As a Sens fan, I say go ahead and pop that jersey out. Okay, Craig.
That should
no
tell
thanks.
You what you need to know.
Don't take the jersey out. No sense in getting your sign if you don't plan. Okay. That guy's scolding me. I get it. I don't know. Buy a Stolarz jersey. Alicia, Justin is right. That jersey's now a temple. Wear the jersey. I'll wear my Darcy Tucker one. This didn't help.
And I didn't think it was going to help. Mixed reviews, of course.
Wear it. I wore my vintage Doug Gilmore Leafs jersey to the Leafs game on Saturday night in Montreal. It's signed front and back. I got great compliments. I might listen to that one.
I think it's you talk about ick every now and then.
What?
I think it's a bit of an ick seeing a signature on a jersey someone's wearing.
I didn't realize you were so upset about this.
It's a little weird.
I'm never going to sign a jersey and give it to you then. You missed your opportunity. I
mean, you missed your opportunity to generate that jersey.
I have a couple. Maybe I'll come back. All right, folks. We're excited. Stanley Cup playoffs begin tomorrow night on Sportsnet. We'll see you at Game 1 on Sunday at Scotiabank Arena. Have a lovely weekend.